peace. Here in Isaiah 26, Isaiah lays out indeed a prophecy, looking forward to the time when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will rule and reign in righteousness for 1,000 years, and peace will reign over all the earth. In that day, I can't begin to understand how it will be that day. I mean, I read today of North Korea again shooting off a missile, constantly threatening world peace. Donald Trump over in the Middle East and trying to deal with situations, trying to rally some of the Middle Eastern governments to come together and to fight against ISIS, which is waging a campaign of terror across the Middle East and hoping to impose that same terror on the West. Peace. When we think of peace, our thought is a little more limited than the Jewish people. You probably know the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. But the word shalom or peace means more than the absence of hostility. It includes the blessings such as wholeness, wealth, quietness of soul, preservation, completeness, peace. In this portion of Scripture, Isaiah lays out some of the conditions for peace, living a life of peace. We see the promise of peace first in verses 1 and 2. It says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the Lord in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in." The promise of peace in that day. You know, there will be no perfect peace in this world until the Prince of Peace rules from Zion. There will be no peace. We can try, you know, a bit of a student of history, and I found it interesting that after World War I, the war to end all wars, they formed the League of Nations, that the League of Nations might settle all the disputes in the world, and there would not be a great war again. And it wasn't even a generation later, and we had World War II. World War II came and went, and instead of League of Nations, they formed the United Nations. When I was just, 17 years old, I was in New York City, went to the United Nations building in New York City, and saw the flags there, and the General Assembly was not in session when we were there, but saw the Great Hall and those things, but the United Nations did nothing to bring about peace in the world. We hear peace conferences, and we hear of people coming together. And during the reign of when Jimmy Carter was president, there was a great promise of peace in the Middle East with the Camp David Accords, but that never brought peace to the Middle East. Why? Because man's heart is sinful. Because as the prophet Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Out of a sinful heart comes wars and rumors of wars. All those things come out of a sinful heart of man. And so he says there will be no peace until the Prince of Peace. Look at the marks of peace there. We see that a strong city, salvation will be the city's protection, and a righteous nation that keeps truth. You know, the nations of the world would simply use the Word of God as their guide for what they do and don't do, then we would not have the strife and the conflict we have in the world today. Find there's a promise of peace, and that thinking right brings peace. Isaiah kind of flops back and forth between a prophecy and present application. I believe verse 3 and 4 are present applications. He says, there will a day come when Jesus Christ will rule and reign in Zion, and there will be peace. But for now, look at verse 3 and 4, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Thinking right brings peace. Thinking right brings peace. Where does our mind wander in the quietness when there's no distractions? When there's nothing about us to grab our attention, where does our mind wander? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Peace. Thinking right brings peace. The Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Philippians chapter 4. These are familiar verses for you. Be careful or worry about nothing. For in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Thinking right brings peace. If we think right about ourselves and God, understand that God is holy and that we fall short and we need to submit ourselves to Him, it brings a peace to us. If we think right and understand what God says about the world, that the world is going to wax worse and worse, that's not under our control, but what is under our control is our relationship with Jesus Christ, that as the world is falling apart all around us, that we can have that relationship with Jesus Christ that brings a peace to our heart. A peace knowing that there's no conflict between me and God. My sins have been forgiven. They're under the blood of Jesus Christ. He no longer holds me accountable eternally for my sins. Now we know that if I sin, 1 John 1:9, we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But my eternal destiny is settled. Some who are saved at a later age remember as an adult laying your head on your pillow at night and your mind just spinning because you know if you died then, you would go to a Christless eternity. Maybe some of you still remember that thought. Maybe you still remember that you thought, what will happen to me when I die? And you're in turmoil because you don't know what will happen in your life because you don't have that peace. We also know that this peace, thinking right, can bring peace to others between you and me. If I think right and you think right, then there's not going to be a conflict between us. Because the Bible says if we do that, then we would be preferring one before another, doing nothing but partiality. That I won't try to impose upon you my preferences. You won't try to impose upon me your preferences. That we won't think we're better than the other. We won't think that you have to do what I say or I have to do what you say. We'll be at peace with one another. Have you ever in a situation where somebody came in and they were just really angry with you? And they came in and I had it happen, not a lot, because I'm such a nice guy, nobody ever gets mad at me. I don't understand it. But they come in and they're just beside themselves. And so you listen. And they start to wind down. You say, was there anything else? Well, yeah, they start in again. And you listen. And you say, was there anything else? Well, and usually you go through three or four rounds of that. And then they, when you use the phrase, run out of steam. This is the key where peace comes in. At that point, you don't try to defend yourself. At that point, you say, I'm sorry you were hurt and offended. That was not my intention. Will you forgive me? And it takes all the air right out of their balloon. Because you're not willing to engage in the conflict. Remember in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall obtain peace. See, in every situation we have a choice. Am I going to be a peacemaker or am I going to be a warmonger? Am I going to de-escalate the situation or am I going to escalate the situation? Thinking right helps us to de-escalate the situation. Thinking right, but also we know that trusting right brings strength and peace. Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord, verse 5, with all thine heart, and lean not to thine understanding. Psalm 16, verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Psalm 25, verse 20, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Psalm 71, verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Trusting right. Trust. What are we trusting in? See, a lot of things today calling us to trust in them. There are advertisements on television about retirement funds that, and this one guy, he goes out and says, do you think you should start saving for retirement? When did you save? The gap there is a big problem. And, you know, if you just had started saving at the right time, you could trust in your retirement. Government says, trust in us, and we'll solve all your problems. Well, trust in us, we'll provide health care for you. Trust in us, we'll provide for you in your old age. Trust in us. Business say, trust in us, we have the best car. Trust in us, we have the best refrigerator. Everybody wants us to trust, because they know with trust comes action. See, the psalmist here says, trusting the Lord forever. Notice, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. It's interesting, those two words go together. Strength and peace. Strength and peace. We as Christians need to be strong enough to be gentle. Strong enough to be gentle. That's what meekness is. Meekness is being strong enough to be gentle. Sometimes we think that if I'm strong, I have to be brutal. But with strength, we can become gentle. If I were to decide I need to move this piano, what lovely piano, I want to move it down to the foyer. And so, Isaac, you're in charge of moving the piano. You get 5 or 6 of your fellows from the school on Tuesday, and I want you to move that piano down to the foyer. Now, Isaac's a good fellow. He'd do what I ask him to do. He would move that piano in several pieces. Why? Because he is not strong enough to be gentle with it. But you get 2 professional movers with that piano. I've watched them do it with a grand piano like that. They take that piano, they lay it down, take the legs off of it, they lay it on its side, and 2 men pick that piano up and carry it any place. Why? They're strong enough to be gentle. You see, if we're not gentle, that shows a weakness on our part. Trusting right brings strength. In verses 5 down through verse 8, we see the path of peace. Let me just look at a couple verses here. Verse 7, the way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, we have waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. In these verses, we find that God judges those that dwell on high. Those that think in their own sufficiency that they have a right to a lofty position. Those that exalt themselves above the Lord in verse 5. The path of peace is for the poor and needy. But he says there is a way, the way. Way often refers to a road or a path. And Isaiah, other places, talks about a highway. What's the path to peace? Uprightness. the just, those that wait, desire, and remember his name in verse 8. Verses 9 through 11 tell us about a plan for world peace. The League of Nations, the United Nations, never really considered these verses. He says, "With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early, for when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness in the land of uprightness. He will deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of their enemies shall devour them." We see God has a plan for world peace. The judgments of the Lord are to teach the world righteousness. The favor of the world is to show the majesty of the Lord. And the hand, or the works of the Lord, is that they might see him. You know, one of the reasons there is not peace on earth today is because people refuse to acknowledge there is a God in heaven to whom they're responsible. There is a God who is the creator. There is a God who makes righteous judgments, who decides without error right and wrong. There is a God in heaven that is a majestic God, a God above all the idols of the world. And the works of the Lord show him. Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where his voice is not heard." There's not one place on earth that someone can stand out and view the majesty of God in this world and deny there is a creator to whom they're responsible. Psalm 19 says it. And last, we see the performance of peace. "Lord," verse 12, "thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast wrought all our works in us." Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us. Think of the Jewish people living in the city of Jerusalem. They're surrounded now. The Egyptians to the southwest, the Babylonians to the east, and the Assyrians to the northeast. All enemies that would conquer them. But yet the Lord says, he will ordain peace. I can't imagine living in that kind of time. I can't imagine living in a country that's war-torn, of the constant threat of war. I can't imagine it. But I know that the Lord can ordain peace to them just as surely as he ordains peace for us today. Think of friends we have in China, in a country that is opposed to anything good and godly. They meet in secret, but they meet in peace. Russia's began to bring more stringent regulations on churches and even denying them the use of, have been able to have Bibles in their churches and just, but the Russian Christians have peace. When the Iron Curtain fell, we in the Western world thought, well, this is our opportunity. We're going to take the gospel to the Russian people. But you know, when missionaries arrived in Russia, they found a great number of Christians excited about serving God. Serving God in peace in the most difficult of situations. Peace. The Lord is the only source of peace. Peace. Notice he says, "The Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us." For us, for our benefit. Did you ever try to accomplish something when your heart was just in turmoil? When you was afraid this might happen and this might happen and this might happen and that might come up? It's very hard to accomplish anything. But Isaiah says, thou wilt ordain peace for us. And the last phrase, for thou hast wrought all our works in us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God that works in us. God works in us to have the will to do what is right. God works in us not only to have the will to do what is right, but God works in us to accomplish that which he gives us the will to do. Now that doesn't mean we don't have responsibility. We certainly do. But understand, God wants you to do right. God gives you the will to do right. And God gives you the ability to do what pleases him. Peace. I said years ago, a wealthy patron wanted a painting of peace. So he called upon three artists, told them that, I want you to paint a portrait of peace. The portrait that I feel best reflects what peace really is the one that I will buy. The first artist came back with a pastoral scene, a farm and sheep grazing in the pasture and birds flying in the air and a shepherd watching them, seeing without concern, no threats, no bears, no wolves, nothing to attack, just an idyllic scene. He said, okay. The next came back with a seascape. The water gently lapping at the rocks and a sailboat sailing off across the and the sun in the sky and not a worry in the world. And he said, okay. The third artist came back with a dark painting. It was a rock wall. Thunderstorms were crashing in the sky. You could see the lightning and almost feel the vibration from the thunder by looking at the painting. You could see a waterfall rushing down over those rocks. And almost unnoticed in that painting was a cleft in the rock. And there in the cleft of the rock sat a small dove. Looking out of the rock, unconcerned about the waterfall, unconcerned about the thunder and the lightning going out all about it. And he said, that's the one I'll buy. Why? Because it depicts peace. Peace is not what's going on around you. Understand this. Peace is not what's going on around you. Peace is what's going on inside you. We live in difficult days. In these days, we have to understand that the only source of true peace is Jesus Christ. First, knowing Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. Understand that we have peace with God. The Bible talks about peace that passeth all understanding. Peace of God which passeth all understanding. Having a peace with God because we know that our eternal destiny is settled. We've trusted Jesus our Savior. We're ready for heaven. But secondly, having that peace that knows we are right with God. That we think right. And God can direct us in peace day by day by day. In the midst of turmoil, just like the people there in the city of Jerusalem, threatened on all sides, but kept in perfect peace. Let's pray together.